glad you're here. If you came on I-4 earlier this morning, it's pretty amazing. It took us an hour to get here from my house. Well, we didn't know. We got on and we got stuck, and then I couldn't get the hover part of my car to get up. But we made it, and we're glad to be here. So let me pray, and then we'll start. We'll sing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for bringing us in today. And we thank you that you hear our cries like we hear the sweet little cry of a baby. You hear us and you love us. And we settle into that reality. And we ask that you would bless us during this time and that we could hear from you and be assured of your great love and forgiveness for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, amen. You guys have a seat for a second. Today, we're talking about... We're going to stay up here too, just like all things new. And so we're shifting up how we do things, at least for today. So if you could open up to page G in your books. We've been beginning with a moment to say, you know what, we're not perfect. And a moment to receive forgiveness. And so we've been confessing together the confession and then hearing the absolution. Today, I wanted to turn to page G, where it's a prayer of confession. It's taken from a group called Ransomed Heart. But we put it in our book because it's really important. And just give you a time here, about, 10, 15 seconds to read through this. And just confess your, instead of corporately together, you're confessing your own personal sins to God. And the opportunity for that is to give you peace. So whatever comes to your mind, read through this. And if something comes to your mind or you have a sin that, or something that you do that you don't want to do anymore, or that there's condemns you, or there's guilt or shame, use this time to go, God, forgive me for it. And I'll give you a couple, like a half a minute or so, read through it, and then I'll pray at the end where we announce that Christ forgives you. Come, Lord, and set us free here in these very places. We plead your blood over all of our sins, the ones we've done knowingly and unknowingly, or we want to do better. You know our hearts. We don't want to continue in brokenness and destruction and hurtful things. We want to do better. So forgive us. And I get to announce, and we're here today because you announced to us in these very places, I've given you my son to die for you, and it's for his sake God forgives you all your sins. Rest in the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus can handle them, and he's taken them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read, we're going to sing a song after I read this, but I wanted to read the New Testament reading from John chapter 16, verse 12 through 22, found on page 526 if you want to follow along, or if you just want to listen, that's fine too. Verse 12, Jesus, these are the words of Jesus to his disciples, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while you will see me, and a little while you will not see me. And because I am going to the Father, they're questioning. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? Truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. But truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. We'll stop there. Hope settle into the idea that's Jesus saying, you're just going to be sad. I'm going to leave, but I'm coming back. So let that get into your mind. Like the words of Jesus are, I'm telling you, I'm coming back to give you joy again. And that's what we'll read next in Revelation after we sing a song. Go ahead and have a seat. We'll read from Revelation. Reading from the book of Revelation. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. Just a reminder. So it's at the end of your Bible if you want to follow along. It's on page 603. We'll be in Revelation chapter 21. But just a reminder what Revelation means. The word, it means to reveal. It's actually, the Greek word is apocalypse, right? We've been talking about that. And I just love bringing it up because the world's version of the apocalypse is zombies and hiding underground. I have to say it every week because you're always bombarded with the world's version of apocalypse. And I'm telling you, it's super lame and sad and destructive because that's the end of the story for people without the story of God. And they're fascinated by it. Oh, but the end of our story, the apocalypse, the revealing of our king, is not surprise, man is destructive and we're all going to kill ourselves with technology. It's surprise, there is a son of God who came to save you and he truly is the king and he's going to restore all things for you. So for us, the apocalypse is a wonderful event we're looking forward to. Your life has meaning and all the good things you did weren't just used to be turned inward and destroy you and your people. So, do you want to hear our apocalypse? Or do you want to keep watching Walking Dead? It's your choice. I don't care. I actually do care. So let's read Revelation. And again, Revelation, if it's causing you confusion, just stop. It's not for confusion. It's for... Oh, I never said that, but I like that. She said clarity, which is not the word I would use for revelation. But she's super smart. Comfort. It's for comfort. If the book of Revelation is not bringing comfort, then just stop. It's not helpful at this for you. It's going to bring comfort for us today. In chapter 21, verse 1, says, "Then," this is John writing, "then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throng saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" It's the reading of God's word. So Revelation, just as much God's word as what we read from Jesus. Jesus saying, "I'm going to come back." Now we get a glimpse in the book of Revelation to give us comfort, not confusion. But it's only comforting if you know what kind of literature it is, and it's a vision. So remember, in visions, it's not always chronological, literal in the sense of there's a bird in the sky. It's a different kind of literature. Things are veiled. And it's for our comfort. And he says at the end, those who conquer. So how do we conquer? How are you? So this is a vision of the end, and you want to be on the right side, right? Blessed are you who conquer. Conquering means you're going to hold on. You're going to persevere and have faith till the very end. So there's this classic story, if you've ever heard about perseverance. There's many stories about perseverance, but essentially, for the person who's determined, they can do almost anything, right? Do you believe that? Maybe not. Here's a story. In 1952, there's a woman named Florence Chadwick. She's a swimmer, and she's going to be the first woman to swim across the Catalina Channel. It's off the coast of California, and it's 21 miles. She's going to be the first woman to do this on July 4th, 1952, but it's foggy. The waters are freezing. There's sharks going on, and the tides are all messing things up, so they're saying, maybe don't do it. She says, no, the fog will lift. Let's go. So she swims for 15 hours and 55 minutes. And then finally, you can barely see your support boat. Her mom's in a support boat. She says, your mom, I'm done. I can't do it. Have you ever heard this story? So she gets out of the boat, and they row in, and they realize they're just a couple minutes from shore. Like, she didn't make it. She gave up just a couple minutes. Like, she could have easily made it. So they asked her, what happened? She's like, well, if I had seen the shore, I would have kept going. I couldn't see it. So I didn't know how long to go, or, you know. She then later came back a year, and she did it, like, in 13 hours. Because she could see. She knew, right? What revelation does for us is it lifts the fog. If we know where we're going, we know we can see the coastline, you can keep going. This life is hard. Life isn't how it's supposed to be right now. It's broken. The earth is broken. We're broken. Sometimes we make broken decisions. Sometimes we just are given brokenness, you know? Like on the way here, horrible accident. No one chose that. That's something that, a big event that just happened to some people on my way here. That's this life. For those of us who trust Christ, though, the fog lifts, and the idea in Revelation is hold on. Don't let go. Do not let go of Christ. It might be hard, and you probably are failing. We all are. But don't stop. Don't stop believing. I'll let the song play out. That's essentially the message, right? But if you're like me, you're like, well, how do I don't know how persistent I am, Adam. I don't know if I'm actually that strong. I could give up. I've given up on a lot of things. There's a lot of things I haven't finished. Well, then this is the good news. The good news today is that not only does the fog lift and we can see, there's a world coming and a life that we long for and that we're trying to create on our own, but we're frustrated. It's actually coming. Christ has promised it himself. Unless he's lying or crazy or the Son of God, you got three options, right? He's promised this. This is what we believe. And that's enough to go, okay, I'm going to keep going towards that. But he knows we're weak, right? So he not only lifts the fog, but he jumps in the water and swims it for us to keep the metaphor going. He'll do the work. We basically just root for him and put our money on him. Here's how I know. See, we have a hard time not giving up. Or we have a hard time, we give up on a lot of things. Or we settle. We just settle. But God doesn't. He's not going to give up. Here's the things today. He's not going to give up on you. He's persistent. He's not going to give up on the earth. He's persistent. And he's not going to give up on the idea of you, us, on the earth, living with him. He's not going to give up on our life together. So the first idea, he's not going to give up on you. This is the one we can understand. This is like where we spend most of our time. We need to hear this the most. But Christ, he's come to save you. He loves you. And what he's doing is he's saying, I'm dying for you because I know you're going to die in the waters. You're going to die. You're going to struggle. You're going to beat yourself up. You can never do enough. And he says, I will do enough and I will give it to you. And so if we go back to our passage, it says he's making all things new. And I want you to know he's making all things new. One day he's going to make it all new, but he's making them new now too. And that's what's happening in our heart. He's giving us faith so that he's creating a new person from the inside out. So he's taking the cynical person who knows their limitations and the person who just settles and says, it's always going to be this way. And he's giving you faith. And he's like, with this faith, through his word, the Holy Spirit says, this is all true. And he's creating a new heart in you that believes. A heart that then, once he believes what? Believes that you're loved. Now you have a shot at loving other people. If you're on your own, you're going to run out of love. You'll run out of energy. You can't do it. You can do it for a while, but you get tired. But his love is endless. And so he's creating this in you. He says, I'm saving what I can right now, which is your soul, your spirit. So the new creation has begun and Christ is with us. And we understand that, right? That shouldn't be too new. But what's new for a lot of us is the second one. Did you know that he's not giving up on the earth? If you've been around me, you know that. But if you follow the whole story of Scripture, there's only three characters. It's helpful to look at the story. When you read the Bible, it gets really fuzzy, and it's like, well, it's too much information. But then the more you read it, it becomes very simple. I've finally broken through and got to the simple part until it gets confusing again. But there's three characters. We know God, right? God was there. What was next? The earth. Don't skip the earth. The earth is a character. It's the second character in the whole story. He creates everything. Then he creates humanity. But think about when he created everything. He said, let there be. He creates out of nothing. We can create with stuff. He creates. He's so powerful and so in control. He's the creator. He just creates. But he says, Scripture said, he said he was very good. Do you ever have a moment at work or at home when you do something well and you step back and you go, that is good. I put that ceiling fan up and it's not wobbling. I got 1 out of 3. That one's good. And then we'll get back to those other two. It's very good. God steps back and says, I love this. Don't overlook that, because that's a major character in the story. We all overlook it because let me just say Plato. Look him up. He's a philosopher. And he started breaking up spirit and flesh and started saying spirit is better than flesh. Flesh is dirty and gross and there's death and sickness. So we want to get to the spirit. That is not from the Bible. That is not from Jesus Christ. That's not from God. It's from the pit of hell, honestly. Because it's messed our minds up. We think this is bad. And then we think spirit is good. But none of us want to go there. We want to stay here. Start to connect it and you realize God made the earth. He said, this is so good. I love it. Then he makes humans. He says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to enjoy it with me. I'll walk with you in the garden. And we will be spirit and flesh together. And be creative and beautiful and all the things we long for. That's what he starts with in the first two chapters of the book. Then if you follow it, we always follow God and man, but look for the earth. Reread it and watch the earth. It just keeps, it never leaves. This is why he creates a people. But then he says, I have a promised land for you. I have a place where I want to meet with you. That's why there's a temple. He says, I want to meet with you in this land. But the land is so full of violence. See, we look at it from our perspective, which is, I don't understand the Bible. They're going and killing people. And I'm not making fun. I say this too. They're killing people in these lands, but what about those people? And if you read the Bible, God says, they are polluting the land with violence and wickedness. They're killing and destroying. They've so corrupted human nature that God's like, in his graciousness, is that's a pollution of the land. It's like if there's a bunch of oil in a little lake, God's like, I'm going to get rid of the oil and the dead animals. We wouldn't say, that's not nice. We'd say, oh, yeah, that's what you have to do. From God's perspective, the land is so polluted with violence, people don't even look like humans anymore. God's like, I'm cleaning you out and giving you, my people are going to inhabit the land because I love my land. His environmental movement is not connected to politics. It's he actually loves the earth because he cares for it. And you think about the most beautiful place you've ever been. Think about it. I was going through just in creation. There's something really powerful about creation, right? I'm not the only one that, wow, the sky is beautiful, or the ocean. You go to the ocean when the sun's setting and I don't have to reapply sunblock, I think. And you're just like, this is so perfect. Or you've been to the mountains. Or when we were out in Vegas, you see these massive rocks. And it makes you go, maybe we should worship this rock. Because it says there's something big going on. There is something powerful and eternal about this natural thing. And that's because God created it and he loves it. But just like he's starting a new thing in you, he still rules creation now, even in its brokenness. He still holds it together. Every day the sun rises. Every day we have these little birds. And I'm very encouraged by the birds. We have a little feeder now. I'm encouraged because I'm like, God takes care of these little creatures. So I have a shot of making it another day. It's good to think that way. God cares about his creation. He says, I created this. I love it. And I need you guys to realize we love it too. In fact, it's our inheritance. You know the famous verse, God so loved the world? Do you know what the actual word for world is? Cosmos. We think God so loved the people of the world that he sent his only son. No, the verse reads, God so loved the world that he sent his only son, then whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. Jesus came for the physical world because it's his. And just like if you came in and messed with my one good ceiling fan, I would protect it and say, don't steal that one. Steal these two. And you start to get God's perspective. He's not giving up on the world. He loves it. He put his heart and mind into it. He says, I love it. I want to live here with you. And he's not giving up on people, even though they've become twisted, corrupt, violent, demonic versions of themselves. He's motivated by his love and he's persistent. And he's like, I'm coming after you. I'm not giving up. Then we see in our passage, he says, I want to dwell with you. It's like, why do you come after us? Because I love you. You're my kids. We're his prized creation. So he loves creation, but we're creations too. We're nothing different than the earth, except God put his spirit in us, right? Except he made us to work the creation with him, and he loves us. Loves us to the point where he's like, I will do it all for you. I will persevere. I will be mocked, humiliated. I'll walk through failure. I'll walk through poverty. I'll walk through death for you so that you can experience love and acceptance and riches and a future inheritance, even though you've lost the inheritance. And we lose the inheritance by saying, I don't want what you have, God. He says, I want you, but I'm not going to force you to do anything. I'm not making you slaves. And so by the end of it, you see God saying, I'm not going to make you slaves, but I'm sending you my son. And for those of us who've said, yes, I believe this, there's comfort for you today. He's not giving up on you, even though you may have given up on him. Die, we go to heaven, and in heaven they're all longing. I have so many verses for you, I have to like choose which one. But in Romans 8, it talks about the earth is longing for the adoption of sons. And in other parts of Revelation, the saints are going, come, Lord Jesus. You know why? They're in heaven. Their spirits are right with God and like they're feeling great. But you know what they're missing? Their bodies. And you're missing good food. You're missing your bodies because that's what we were created for. So they're longing for Jesus to do what? To resurrect the saints. Cleanse the earth. He doesn't destroy it. He cleanses it once with water and then again with fire. It's a refining process, not a destructive process. He's refining and cleaning his beautiful creation, his piece of art. And he's like, I love it. And he's refining and putting us back together with our bodies. And then he's like, now we're going to live together the way we all want to, the way we know it ought to be. We all know it ought to be. Well, there should be peace, and there shouldn't be violence, and this shouldn't be hard, and this should be easy. Right, we know that because God put that in us. And he's persistent. And the bookends of the scripture are, I'm living with you in the new in creation. I'm walking with you. You're doing jobs and doing things that are fun. It's not a pain to work with the earth or work. It's fun. It's fun to raise kids. Two chapters in the beginning of the Bible. Then it breaks down. And now we're still waiting. But the last two chapters, 21, 22, it's the same thing. God on the earth with his people, with you. And he wants you to know he's engaged to you. There's the scene in our passage where it's a bride, the city, the people, the church. We are the bride of Christ, and we are adorned. We are beautiful. He's cleansing us now with the washing of water and the word. He's baptizing us. He's gathering us around his word. He's cleansing you and preparing you for a wedding day, just like we do in real life. But the end is, remember, I don't know, I didn't do this, but I used to see it like on old shows where a guy would carry his wife across the threshold of their new house. Does anyone remember that? Or is that like so old? The whole idea is this from Revelation. Christ is preparing. He's adorning the bride. And there's a day where Christ is going to pick us up as his people and go, welcome home. We're starting our new life together without sin, without death, without corruption, forever. It's going to be awesome. Do you believe that? At a minimum, you should want to believe that. It's either that or Walking Dead. And there's only a couple people that make it far in Walking Dead. I haven't even watched it, but just walking by people watching it, I see. Like, oh, what happened to that guy? You haven't watched for 6 seasons. Stop. I'm like, okay. Of course we want this world. And I'm telling you, have it. This is why we confess that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And all you do is say, God, help me. I want it. He's like, I know. And so start being engaged with him. It's fun. Pick your head up. Get forgiven for your sin and think about this day. I'm trying to restore that for you because that's how you keep going. Is we're moving towards something amazing. We're all going to be together. And the people we've lost, loved ones, we're going to see them again. He's restoring all things. He's making all things new. And I'm only going to get to know you guys this much here. But it'll be fun in the new creation. That's what we call it. We call it the new creation. Not heaven. In the new creation, we'll get to know each other forever and ever. That'll be kind of fun. I'll know the true you. Not the insecure version of you, or the insecure version of me, more likely. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you will call us your sons and your daughters and that you're preparing this place. It's hard to imagine and get excited about it because we're so consumed with between now and the day we die. But right now, you give us your son and assure us of our forgiveness of sins, and thank you for that. And the more we fall in love with you now, the more excited we'll get about our actual wedding day with you. I pray that you'd put this idea of eternity in our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, use it to encourage us and to get us to imagine and to be more free and more loving and more courageous, because we know this is just a test run. We got nothing to lose. Thank you, Lord. We ask that peace that passes all understanding would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I wanted to Let's take a time. I don't know if we have the slips of paper back there, Val, or do we have them available? We're going to do, like we used to do this, have a meditative. I want to do that today where we'll play a song, give you a chance to pray, but I want you to use this time to try to imagine. Try to get excited or work through the idea of a new creation and you being made new. Or come to grips with, wow, I've never thought of that. Lord, help me. And then we have prayer slips too. If there's anything you're praying for, pray for it now, but then write it up, put it on the board. And then after we have a song of prayer, we'll do offering and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together before we sing and go on our way. So Father, bless this time of prayer. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd move people. You create faith in our hearts. Give everyone a chance, Lord, to hear from you and make some connections for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have an opportunity to respond to the Lord. We recognize that he's given us everything. So we're going to pass the offering. And again, this is an act of saying, you know, God, even my health, my ability to see or think, I thank you for it. And money is just putting it in its right place. It's just a thing that God provides of many things he provides. So we say thank you. So God bless whatever we can give to your word being supported on earth as it is in heaven. It's the word that we need to hear constantly, that we are forgiven, we are loved, we have a future. And so we give our hearts, our minds, we support that for ourselves, but all over the world. As you've already begun your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, all over the world, there's little pockets of people acting like it's already heaven, dwelling together with you, around your word, with your angels, singing your songs. So we thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, but I want to pray the Lord's Prayer, and just as we do, listen to the language of his kingdom come and think about what he's saying there. So let's stand, we'll say the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll sing together. Number 8, and I think the Lord's Prayer is on page 8A. You'll find it. So let's pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace, now and forever. Amen. Have a great week.